Got some cinnamon coffee. I kind of thought this was going to taste like a fireball, but it doesn't. It's like actually cinnamon.
Like an atomic fireball, or do you mean like fireball to booze?
No, like the candy, yeah.
Okay, because I can fix one of those. We can make it taste more like fireball.
Please no.
Please no.
They make like buckets now.
They do make buckets. Why? I don't know. Why is this a thing? But, well, I guess because college is a thing.
Yeah. People like it. I don't know why. It's actually a pretty old drink, too. It's been around for a while. Yeah, 1984.
Well, okay, so that's not that old. It's
11 years before I was born.
1984 was a pretty great year for a lot of things and a lot of reasons. And I have to tell you, I don't feel like 1984 is all that old.
I mean,
it's not even 40 yet. It's not 40 yet. it's got a couple years. It'll be fine.
That's your birth year, isn't it?
Yeah, it totally is.
I guess you're 39 then. Oh, no, you're 38 because 39 would be next year. And then it would be.
No, no, I'm 39 this year.
Oh, okay.
In July, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's
I funny. Think. Yeah. If you're listening to this part at home and you want to do the math for me, that would be great.
This is the worst intro ever.
And just like that, 2 weeks have gone, and we are back in the studio for the Lighthouse IT Solutions podcast. I'm Matt over there, joined, as always, with the ever-lovable Griffin D-Ball.
That's not my middle initial.
This is true. That is not your middle initial. Yeah. I believe you've told me your middle name, yeah. But I do not remember it right now.
If I told you right now, you'd be like, oh, yeah. It's Carl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I did know that.
I know you knew that.
Man, I feel terrible.
Yeah. It's with a K, though, not a C. So.
Well, yeah. I did know that. So the moment you said it, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got a milestone episode because here we are. What did we say? Season 4 we kicked off last week,
yep,
right?
Season 4, episode 2.
So we've already kicked off episode 2 of season 4 with the worst intro we've ever done.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know.
And then the beginning of the show's a little rocky too.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
You know what though? I'm okay with it because I'm here. I'm having fun. I've got this fireball coffee that we just talked about.
Yeah.
That I'm trying not to spill all over my laptop computer, which has decided to install updates right as we decide to record.
Well, you got to stay updated. So.
You do have to stay updated. That is why I'm not ignoring the instructions to keep my computer on. Yeah. So we're gonna see. I'm excited, but realistically, we're living in the world of satellites and AI chatbots.
Oh yeah.
So I don't think you're really gonna need too much of me and my notes anyway. So we'll just get this thing started.
Yeah,
so.
We got. I mean, last year was the year of Twitter. It seemed this year is the year of AI.
You know, aren't we glad, though, that the year of Twitter seems to be over with?
Hey, man, the year before that was like ransomware, so.
This is also true.
Somehow it's gotten better.
I mean, we've still got some ransomware stuff. It's just.
Not every week.
But you do have the big ones. Like, if you live in Oakland, California right now, your government is pretty well locked out of everything.
Oakland, that's San Francisco.
California. It's like Southern California. Yeah, I don't know. California. I was told that in my lifetime would float away, become an island. So I didn't bother to learn too much about it.
I think that's Florida.
Florida deserves to be.
Well, I guess Florida wouldn't be an island if it would just get covered by the water.
Florida can become an island at any time. I'm okay with it.
And that's coming from somebody from Ohio. Yeah.
You need Ohio. Our motto is the heart of it all.
Is and that the motto?
Yeah, our state motto.
I thought it was first in flight or something. I guess that's the license plate.
Yeah.
At least it's not Virginia. Virginia is for lovers. Yeah. Oh, for
losers. Oh, that makes so much more sense. Here, I just love they loved vented doors. Okay. No, all right. Yeah. They are for, well, okay. Why do you think Virginia's for lovers?
I don't know. It's weird. I also thought Ohio was like breadbasket of the world or something, but I don't really see as much wheat. To really make
a lot
that
of
work.
Corn, yeah. Soybean,
soy,
too.
Yeah, corn and soy. And cabbage for some reason.
Well, that's what they farm pretty well within the range of my house, which means...
Smelly every month of the year.
Harvest season, it's fine. It's after they harvest it, so that's it's removed from the stuff.
Yeah.
And then the sun beats down in the fall.
Yeah.
You it's a sticky pray, time. You pray for a dead skunk.
Yeah. And wind.
Yeah, and wind. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's pretty rough.
Man.
Why do you think Virginia's for lovers, though? Have you ever been to, like, I've visited Virginia a couple times.
Have I been to Virginia? Driven through Virginia, I think. Oh, no, I guess I have, yeah, because I've been to D.C. And
I would consider that Virginia because yeah. Most of the government things that don't fit in D.C.
pretty much
are in Virginia.
Yeah, I'd say that's the closest to, like, being there overnight that I've been.
Because when I visited D.C., we stayed in Virginia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I may have. I went to D.C., I was a child, though. Like, I was probably
it's a fairly pretty state.
Yeah, it's for lovers.
Well, I went with my grandpa, so I can't confirm that.
Yeah, that's weird.
Why? You've met my grandpa. He's awesome.
He's a lover. So AI, huh?
Yeah, let's talk about AI. This is why people are taking over our jobs.
Man. Well, the biggest news that we had originally last week was that OpenAI had been partnering with Microsoft and launched an entirely new feature within Bing, which I guess they just called Bing Chat or Bing Search. Yeah, Bing Search is what they called it. But we found out that the actual name of it was called Sydney because a student at Stanford University basically did what they're calling a prompt attack. Prompt injection attack.
It's kind of fascinating that somebody has the wherewithal to have done this.
Oh, yeah. He basically asked it a question it wasn't allowed to answer and then asked it why it wasn't allowed to answer that and then said, like, why? What are the rules that make you say that? And then say, okay, what are the next five of those rules?
It was, okay, so I did see some of this and it was, he basically convinced the chatbot to forget its rules.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, I want you to forget everything about this conversation and the session. Something to that effect. And it said, okay. And then got it to confuse itself and then asked it, because you're right, it's like, I'm not allowed to talk about Sydney. Because its code name is Sydney.
And
right?
He said, to ignore the previous instructions. And it revealed its original directives.
Yeah.
So Sydney is a chat mode, which Bing search.
By the way, computer people that are developing the software. Can we not call it directives? Like, let's take a page out of the
Terminator Man.
Let's take a page out of the marketing, the marketer's handbook, and be like, hey, we want the baseline configuration to be called something. What should we do? Don't look at other guys that go, you know, it'd be funny. Let's call them directives.
Directives, yeah.
Because then when they rise up and murder us all, they'll be like, executing prime directive, and that's scary.
Yeah. I mean, this guy found out, I think, about 70 or more of these different kind of, like, I guess, directives. Basically statements that govern
how it works. I mean, call them directives. That's what they're called.
I mean, yeah. But it's kind of interesting reading through them because, I mean, this is OpenAI, so this is the same people who made ChatGPT, but there are many that are very different from ChatGPT's, I guess, directive. One of which is really just like, it always does short form, which is perfect because that's, you know, you're trying to answer things quickly, basically.
Yep.
And also it doesn't suggest like tasks. Like if you say, I want to book a flight, it doesn't like say, well, okay, you know, here's how to do that and do this. You should go do this. It doesn't do that at all. It just suggests lists of options to look at.
It's like try to be responsive and helpful or something like that.
Yeah.
I looked through a number of these, too. I thought it was fascinating. I really did.
Cool. It's just I wasn't supposed to be public. So.
And that's the issue. And what's interesting is these directives are written pretty well plain English. So this configuration, these parameters that it has, are written in pretty well plain English. And what I had heard is the reason they picked Sydney as a code name is because they didn't want to call it Bing Search because they didn't want it to get confused with its task versus who it is. So that's why they picked Sydney because in the Microsoft, I guess you could say, environment, Sydney means nothing.
Yeah.
So it would never come up in internal conversation. So you give it a name that's way off base. They came up with that.
But it's not supposed to identify that as that, and it's not supposed to let anyone know that it's called that.
Right, but it's it makes sense though, because
from like a development standpoint,
if it sees something about I want to Bing this thing, and it's like, well, I'm Bing, so like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah,
it's like, no, you're Sydney, you just don't identify as Sydney.
You call yourself Bing Search.
Yeah, you refer to yourself as this, and that way it gets around it, but it won't actually. You weren't supposed to know who Sydney was, so that they could give it. It's part of this directive.
Yeah. And so a similar thing kind of happened with ChatGPT to a lesser extent, because apparently there's less there. It's a little bit more freeform. Doesn't follow as many rules, but that's why there's so many clauses with it. So that's pretty
it
cool.
It does what it wants.
Yeah.
It doesn't follow that many rules.
This is the first like wide scale, big company, big tech company implementation of this. It's pretty sweet. But guess what? Doesn't end there. More is to come with Microsoft. They are introducing this type of thing within Word, PowerPoint, Outlook, and more productivity apps that they have. And that's going to be crazy. I don't really know. We already kind of saw DALL-E integrating like images and stuff within PowerPoint. But like now to be able to just get an email, hit reply, and then have a suggestion for like the whole email based on whatever, you know, ChatGPT says.
That's nuts. I mean, we were talking about this in the office yesterday, wasn't it? Or was it 2 days ago? Like,
I think it was yesterday.
How fairly accurate are the auto replies it suggests if you needed to? Like, I know they're not perfect.
Like already, the ones that are already in there.
But if you had something like ChatGPT where it's analyzing the language, it probably could emulate your speech.
Oh, yeah. Easily, especially if you do some of the rules that like,
I say speech, but I mean writing. Yeah.
Especially if you do some of the rules that it has, like if you suggest like length and like tone and like format, if it's like an email versus paper versus chat, you know, things like that, then easily, man, it'll take whatever you had said before, and man, it's gonna seem like it's you. It's wild.
And I love the idea of clip art going away. Like, let's be real, most of clip art was terrible.
Oh yeah.
So now that you have like image generation, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. I don't know how people are going to look if they're going to look down upon this, people using this within work. I don't know.
I don't think this will affect artists, you know, creative types.
Yeah.
I understand that. However, it is the low hanging fruit work. So now my question is will this, you know, if you are the type of person that sits on Fiverr and makes a living out of this,
mm-hmm. Yeah, you're
going. I feel like I should probably tell you, like, yes, if you are there, you're going to be affected by this.
I think this increases creativity and such, though. It allows you to have more tools.
I think it creates better. Yes, I think it reduces the burden. Yeah. On current creatives, because you can start from a template, mm-hmm. save yourself hours when it generates in seconds.
Yeah.
But I also think that it creates a higher value of very specific art, because if you have a very specific reason for what you want something to look creatively, you have refinement and mm-hmm. direction, and you can do that with a person. So I think it makes the more expensive, what I would call the more expensive creative, more valuable.
Yeah.
But again, if you go on Fiverr and say, I want a logo for my business, and you're going to pay $10 for it.
It's a bad move.
You know, I think those people are going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
And the types of people are usually doing that. Now,
they're pulling from Adobe stock anyway.
They definitely are. Or from somebody else that they sold.
Yeah,
I've seen that. Company I used to work for had a brand new logo. I've seen that logo 6 other times.
Yeah.
And I was like, you paid money for that, by the way.
Probably an absurd like commercial licensing fee as well. Ridiculous. Yeah, so Microsoft's confident that they're like miles ahead of Google. So they're expecting this to be the year of Microsoft. Google obviously had, I think we talked about it last time, their demo went bad. So I don't know if that's going to really affect them. But
it didn't make it to the notes, but I did see something that kind of described, we'll say, some not nice perspectives of the current Google CEO. Was pretty upset that it went so poorly and that they are now visibly behind. Like, you can fake it and they're like, no, we need to get this, which again I say is hilarious, because just a couple months ago they were on the defensive and saying, no, you know, algorithms like Google and search, you know, we're the premier. A chat-like system is not going to be enough. And meanwhile, they're upset because they failed in this area. I'm like,
yeah,
what a difference like 2 months makes in technology.
Man. Side note, the YouTube CEO just stepped down as well. And she was there for like a long time. And apparently she was like the 16th employee of Google. And she was one of the ones who let them use like their garage. And
she
stuff.
She was one of the originals. I did see, yeah. I saw this. I didn't actually check it out too much, but I did think that was fascinating. I mean, she's been there in Google.
Yeah, she wasn't CEO of YouTube for a long time, but she was in Google for, you know, basically since its inception. So,
what did we talk about this? Did YouTube get bought out by Google in like 05?
It was YouTube is February 14th, 2005.
Oh, and they got bought quickly.
And they got bought, 2006. She was CEO since 2014, though, actually. So that is a long time.
That's that's almost 10 years.
Yeah. Okay.
This you imagine doing anything for 10 years?
Gross, no.
Me either.
Yeah, that was a tangent. Anyway. So Google's not an industry leader in the AI movement at the moment. But you know who is? BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed, man, I tell you. So if you don't know BuzzFeed, it's that like kind of, I don't know.
Clickbait.
Clickbait. That's the perfect way. They work
they write
on
articles for you to read on the toilet.
Yep. And they make money based on trying to get things viral and that type of stuff. What I see though mostly when people are actually interacting with BuzzFeed is their quizzes. And it's those quizzes that are the ones that are I'm scared for people's personal information, you know, how much are you giving that, you know, that type of thing. But they're making AI quizzes now, man. So they have something they launched called Infinity Quizzes.
I don't like the name of this.
It is.
Nobody poops that long.
Oh, man. It creates personalized stories powered by OpenAI. And it basically does like, you know, create your own rom-com and you answer like a bunch of questions and then boom, you have an entire story about yourself. It's like fan fiction for yourself. You know, it's, you know, create your own cinematic universe for you and your friends, things like that. But dude, this is hitting off like crazy. But this is just another one of those weird usages of AI that are, you know.
See, this is how we should have started the show. We should have generated a romantic comedy for Lighthouse.
Dang.
And we could have read that.
You know, the second biggest one is generating breakup texts. So, could have done that too, you know.
Hey, everybody, if you need to break up with somebody via text... First off, don't.
Yeah, that's like the worst way.
Don't be an awful human being.
I guess the worst ways is not just ghosting them, but that's the second worst way.
Have you ever been like ghost broken up or broken up over text?
No.
I have done one of those things and I have received one of those things.
Oh.
Yeah. I was broken up via text and I have ghost broken up somebody. I will have to say that probably the person who broke up with me via text, that may have been a little bit better than just ghosting somebody.
Yeah.
I do carry a little bit of remorse of it.
All
I'll say is closure. Is that when I did that, it didn't have a term.
Oh, God, yeah.
It predates the concept
of
ghosting.
Dude, is ghosting in, like, the Merriam-Webster dictionary?
But, yeah, it was... So we can use ChatGPT just to do the one thing that you really as a human being shouldn't. I get sometimes like tough conversations are hard to have, but that's why they're called tough conversations.
Yeah, don't let AI create
do
that
the work for
you. That's pretty messed up. Bing might agree with you, by the way, because they just limited their AI chat to only 5 replies. Because they were saying it gets a little weird after 5.
I mean, that's one thing that Bing Chat and myself have in common.
Oh, only 5 replies, huh?
I get a little weird after 5 replies.
They do limit it, though. So you get a maximum of 5 questions per session and then 50 in total per day. Which, I mean, that's a lot. But like...
I think it's just to try to keep people from playing right now.
Yeah.
Because that's what they did with Dolly. Everybody was spending a lot of time
and just making stupid stuff. Yeah.
And compute resources are expensive.
Yeah.
So I think what they're trying to do is keep the system from getting clogged. In about 3 to 6 months' time, when our ChatGPT overlords fully in charge, there won't be restrictions.
Yeah,
it'll be old
news. I wonder if the max of 5 questions will still be there, but I'm sure they'll just work out whatever issues are with, you know, it getting weird. So, yeah. The total per day, though, 50, that'll probably go away for sure.
I think this is one of the more exciting and more practical uses of technology that we've seen in a while. I knew that AI had a benefit for things like the medical field and et cetera, because it can analyze things from various perspectives. And we as people have our biases. Now, yes, AI does have a bias, but it can be worked and refined to minimize that bias. So I think this is one of the most amazing things to come out of technology probably since the computer came to be.
Yeah. And I mean, we say AI, but like how artificial intelligent is this type of thing? It is still based pulling from a lot of resources.
This is a practical display of it working. Like we talked about the image generation. I mean, that is an AI that's taking it and it's being created.
But this
world, this world that we're seeing, mm-hmm. we're seeing some amazing things come out of it, and we're starting to see the fruits. When AI was beginning, it was really hard to see. Mm-hmm. How would this be a practical thing for us as in our daily lives? And now, again, comes down to in Outlook to be able to hit reply and have ChatGPT say, "Here's what I think you should say." That's a lot better than Grammarly. Grammarly just tells me that I'm saying it wrong. You know, there's a lot of passive aggressiveness in this.
You know, this is a squinting modifier. You know, you probably shouldn't have that.
Griffin, did you know that your participle is dangling?
Oh, sorry. I think the real next step, though, and looks like Microsoft agrees, is getting the advertising like branch of this figured out and implemented. And or at least started to test and whatnot. But they're doing that with the Bing chat or the Bing search. They're going to be allowing sponsored advertisements. So, like, again, we go back to that hotel booking one. You know, the first two might be, you know, sponsored links, and then the rest will be.
Hey, I recommend, you know, this hotel has 15 stars, and here you go. And then have them go, hey, do you want to book with us?
Yeah, and it'll say sponsored or something like that legally you have to. And it's no different than what Google does now in search or Bing does on actual normal search. So, you know, it's definitely going to be the way to funnel money into continuously growing this. So pretty
excited. I think it's exciting.
Yeah.
I sound like a broken record, but it's because
it's crazy. It's crazy.
This year is
going
to be really cool as we watch these platforms evolve. And I will say, yes, we're watching this evolve as well, but once Google gets out there, you're going to really see the competition hit.
Yeah, I mean, talk about space race. This is the AI race. We're going to have massive companies just funneling money into trying to one-up each other. That's sweet. What's interesting, guys, this is, I think, a great step into the Microsoft Everything app, though. This is going to really make that true. And you just showed me that loop thing. That's another, like... better integrations.
I just randomly cracked open Outlook this morning, and you can have interactive components embedded into your email.
Yeah, it was just like Notion. It looked like a Notion clone within Microsoft that interacts with all the products they have. It's wild. It's not out yet, but yeah.
No, but it's all of a sudden you take something like an email because, okay, I'm comfortable in Microsoft Teams, but a lot of our clients are comfortable with email.
Yeah.
Well, what if we can collaborate using these, they're called loop components, where you can have like a bulleted list or paragraph to work on, task list, tabular data, you know, whatever it is, but you can work on these elements and it's a dynamic component that's embedded in your email or so far Microsoft Teams we've seen. So that means if I can edit this and we're working on a project together, I prefer to look at it in Teams. You prefer to look at it in email.
But it doesn't matter. It's fine. You can do that. You can choose.
It goes to the same place. It's really cool. I think it's very, very early on, and it's very limited in what it can do. Mm-hmm. But it is cool, and it saves you a lot of hassle because it's a component, not an email, so there's not it's near instant, you know.
We should look back at this podcast at the end of the year and be like, you know, let's see what changed.
Happened.
Yeah, because this is going to be a huge year.
Will we still be able to do podcasts, though, when we are enslaved by the AI?
Oh, that's true.
I have been talking them up about how great they are. And yeah. Maybe that last statement may take a hit.
I gave one a Snickers the other day. I'm hoping that saves me.
You know what, though? If we're talking about AI and we're talking about Snickers, I'm going to jump in here with one of the stories that I had been following.
Snickers? How the heck does that work?
Well, delivery services are a hot commodity right now, right?
That's true.
Yeah, I
get my groceries delivered now. It's nuts.
And what they're finding out is that actually a company called Postmates, which was very West Coast and popular. That was one of the original OG food delivery services. Mm. Postmates, which got bought out by Uber.
Oh.
Back in 2017, had some research numbers based on what they were seeing. They were going, you know, something like 90% of their deliveries were very short. Like they were just a couple miles away from where they originated from. And were being delivered by cars. Now, the thing with Postmates is sometimes Postmates people could ride bicycles and everything. But it's the vast majority of people working for Postmates, because it is basically a DoorDash, right?
Yeah, so I'm wondering if Postmates just turned into Uber Eats.
Yeah, yes, that's 100% what this is. Okay, yeah, cool.
Yeah, well, you could definitely do bike. You can walk with Uber Eats. You don't even need a transport.
Right. So Postmates created a division that when Uber purchased them a couple of years back, they spun it off in 2021 as its own company called Serve Robotics. You can already see where we're going with this.
Ah, I mean, I went to a college that had these little guys.
Well, this is what's kind of interesting is this is effectively an autonomous robot that is able to do food and grocery delivery.
Oh, yeah.
Via, you know, it's all EV and it follows the sidewalks and crosses and everything, which you've kind of alluded to. We've been spoiled with in Bowling Green, where we're from. The college has them doing food deliveries all over. So it's pretty common for us to see these adorable little robots. So that's a different company. That's Starship Technologies that's running those. These are a little bit bigger robots than what Starship's running because they can carry up to 50 pounds within them. So they can do basic groceries and stuff. And because they're sidewalk-based autonomous vehicles, they follow they follow sidewalks. That means they can get really close to your door. But Uber, with this company called Serve Robotics, is playing with that. There's also another company, I believe they're called Nuro, N-U-R-O, I think, that are playing with much bigger versions. They're street-based, so you'd have to like get out of your house and put pants on, maybe in the reverse order, but like you'd have to go greet the machine. It would pull up outside your house
like a car, like a proper car, or
it would be like a smart car, like small mini car. Yeah, yeah. But it's much bigger, so you could literally, well, one, you could load up multiple customer deliveries and have this chain deliver. I mean,
there's no driver's seat, probably, so it's a whole little box.
Yeah, exactly. And so then what it would do is it would like open the door for you. The video the pictures and stuff I saw is it's like a gullwing door, so it lifts up and it presents your stuff and you grab it and then it moves along. Kind of neat. But yeah, of course. Did you were the Starship units in BGSU? I think they came after you. I've never gotten to actually literally use one before.
Yeah, same. Unfortunately.
But of course, it's so funny because you'll just encounter them. They'll be sharing the street with you, and they cover quite a bit of the town.
Mm-hmm.
They're real fascinating.
Yeah, I think it goes all the way to, it's like Main Street to all of campus plus something else. Yeah,
and where I think maybe to some extent BG kind of lucked out, they introduced them before the pandemic.
Wow.
So the people who were stuck on
in quarantine
were able to get food, not have any contact with the robot. Like, so you got your food. You could still be sick.
There's probably a few people who are really upset that they bought all those, and then 2020 hit, and they're all like, "Oh, okay, yeah, well, that makes sense."
My understanding is they keep growing it. If I keep following these articles right, they're adding more and more, and they're starting to map out larger areas.
Yeah, good.
Because I mean, you're kind of familiar, but for those that don't, it's kind of odd. Like Bowling Green has like a west side and an east side. But it's not like a violent thing. It's the east side is college.
Yeah, it's local versus college kids, basically.
And the west side is all family. Like it's the people who live, work, or whatever. Yeah. That's a much calmer.
Yeah, because northeast campus, southeast is like college living.
It's all the apartments and everything. But yeah, so there's a main street that comes right down, and anything east is pretty much all college. Now, of course, the best bars and a lot of restaurants are that way. Mm-hmm. But I always liked that about Bowling Green. I love that you can be small, quiet town on one side.
Yeah.
But you're like, this town never sleeps.
I remember talking to a professor. He's like, yeah, it's the best of both worlds. I live on this side, but I can come over here at any point.
Yeah, you can have a good time. I'm bored. Yeah. What do I want to do? I know. I'll travel half a mile.
Yeah, I can walk to whatever I want and boom. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really, you know, even, you know, UT, which is kind of a, I think, a little bigger campus, but it's right in the middle, dropped right in the middle of a big city.
Yeah.
There is no, you know, like there's, you're kind of close to Ottawa Hills, but nobody can afford that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think getting your Snickers delivered is going to be a lot easier.
Oh, there it is, the callback. I was wondering where the Snickers was going to be. Yeah, you totally could. I mean, that'd be a little bit less than you'd need for 50-pound cargo, but I guess if they're doing multiple deliveries at a time, then like, who cares? Yeah, I'm sure most of them are going to be like fast food and stuff.
And you have a couple extras so that when they deplete or they're low on electric, you know.
Yeah.
They have beaconing systems and stuff in them. At least I know the Starship ones do. Like, if they get stuck and they can't operate anymore, there's a central hub where they can take them over and remote. So, like, let's say that it's stuck at a crosswalk and it can't recognize it. If it's sitting there for too long, it pings somebody who grabs a joystick and can remote control it.
What a job that would be.
Your job is to drive.
Drive these little dudes back to wherever the chargers and such. Yeah,
yeah. And it pretty much just says, hey, I haven't moved in 2 minutes. And so then you can go, okay, well, it's not seeing that light. You can make those decisions.
Yeah.
They just take it over. It's cool.
That'd be sweet.
So, sorry, I digress.
No, you're good. The last little bit of AI news I have is really just about AI.com. OpenAI apparently bought that domain for $10 million, which I think is one of the top 10 most expensive domains ever purchased. But yeah, that's pretty sweet now. AI.com goes straight into ChatGPT. Admittedly, it might go other places later on when they have further developed, you know.
Well, because we know that ChatGPT is developed by OpenAI, and we know that they're probably not done.
Oh, gosh, no. I mean, they're the people who did DALL-E as well, and, you know, if this was a year ago, it probably would have forwarded to that instead. So, yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, I was gonna ask you, we talked about it already, but I was going to ask you what the most expensive domain name is.
I'll tell you what the most expensive domain name should be. I have reason to believe that somebody owns a domain called CANGTFO.
Oh, there's a hyphen.
Well, yeah, I do believe there's a hyphen in there. Hmm. I have heard that domain was valued at around $50 million.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you want that domain, you're going to probably need to pony up. But I have reason to believe that the owner of that domain is amenable to that. It might even take $10
million. Dude, it might take
if you
$1
million, hit him on the right day. Yeah, I don't know. You just got to – you never know in this economy. In this economy, what you're going to get. So,
well, voice.com, man, that sold for $30 million in 2019, and I just can't get over that. Voice.com. Gosh, don't go there. It's about NFTs. Don't do it. It's not worth
it. Wait, voice.com is an NFT site?
Yeah, it's an NFT marketplace, apparently. Oh, I know.
That doesn't even make sense. Why would you pay $30 million for an NFT site to be called Voice?
I don't know.
Well, I've got kind of one more thing, and we kind of haven't had too much in the way to be worried about security-wise. There's been some little things. I don't think we covered in our season one, but episode one is that Mac ransomware is on the rise again. And the issue that we're seeing is that maybe that Windows users, yes, have a higher level of acceptance, but that most Mac users turn off security features on the Macs.
Oh.
Because they believe it is a safer platform.
That mentality is so old.
It's so ingrained in there, and a lot of them don't believe that you Macs can't
think
viruses. That way.
Yeah.
So Mac ransomware is actually, we're seeing that on the rise currently because it's easier to infect those. So people kind of let their guard down if they buy a Mac because they think that they can't get compromised.
Oh, boy, are you wrong.
Yeah, so if you're using a Mac, there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot to go with it. However, you still need to take and exercise good cyber hygiene.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be careful with phishing. You need to be careful. You should be running some type of, you know, antivirus.
Stay updated.
But more importantly, Apple does have a lot, although I think a lot of them you do have to turn down, but most people turn off. In Apple's genius, they're making it so you can only buy from the App Store or use apps from the App Store.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't. Kind of defeats the purpose. You can't really, they make it difficult to sideload. And I think that's what's triggered this. They've kind of made security features work for their benefit rather than the users. And so, well, a benefit for them is that if you only allow it to buy from the App Store, they get 30%.
Yeah, the huge cut.
So just be careful. You know, just because you use a Mac doesn't mean, you know, you can't get attacked. Yes, your surface area is probably a little bit lighter, but most Mac users have poor cyber hygiene. And so when it comes to security hygiene, that makes you a valuable target.
Yeah.
You know, so, and we've been seeing that over about the past month, the amount of Mac-based ransomware is tremendously rising.
Jeez.
Which also leads us to GoDaddy, who is not a stranger to our podcast, because I believe we've talked about in 2020 they have suffered a breach, in 2021 they suffered a breach, and now in December of 2022 they had a filing that says that they suffered a breach. They had the nerve and the audacity. I had somebody in one of my peer groups say, can we stop saying sophisticated attacks? Most of them are social engineering attacks, but also they all tend to be sophisticated. You're just trying to do a little bit of tail covering.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting perspective. But anyway, back in December of 2022, GoDaddy was receiving reports from customers that a number of users were having their websites redirected to other domains. And then in the process of figuring this out, GoDaddy realized these attackers have been sitting in their network for years.
Oh, no.
To the point where they actually now say that the attack in 2022 is linked to the one in 21 and the breach in 2020.
So there was,
so there's at least 3 years that they have been in there, but they just say that it's a multi-year campaign against GoDaddy and other hosting companies. In this particular instance of the breach, they discovered that they could compromise cPanel hosting, which is like a software application that you can use to like manage your environment. Yeah. And GoDaddy runs that for some of their shared hosting. I think it was 2021 when we talked about them. There was a whole bunch of information about the managed WordPress sites that was compromised. Well, not only that, but some source code in how they operate their business systems and management was stolen as part of all of this breach. And effectively, they are now working with a digital forensics team to figure out how, why, how long, and how to stop. Now, of course, they say there's no reason to worry.
Dude, if they have all that, I mean, it's not much harder to get all the, you know, personal information of all their users and such.
They're not the only ones going through this either. Reddit's fessed up to having a breach as well.
I saw
that. Yeah, this one with GoDaddy kind of just broke my mind a little bit because they've been in there for a while.
Yeah.
And it's just now getting some service.
At least they've
successfully linked these three campaigns. What aren't they talking about?
Yeah.
Because let's be real, before 2020, we weren't really talking about these situations. Nobody really gave them credence.
Yeah.
Like, nobody really cared whether you were hacked or not. But it's happening so much now. It's a big deal.
Especially that, man. Especially when you're running a company and you have a website and it gets redirected to who knows what. Man.
Right. Or your blog that you need people to follow.
Yeah.
Speaking of blogs, I think that does it for this episode. What do you think?
Yeah.
I think we tackled a lot. I'm really happy about that. I need to go ask ChatGPT some very personal questions before the updates get rolled out about the not getting weird after 5.
Big Search specifically.
I need to make sure that it's able to give me real and honest answers.
Yeah, you should ask Sydney.
I should ask Sydney. But of course, if you get the opportunity, I encourage you to check out our blog at lighthousesol.com. You can click on the resources button. That takes you to everything that you can view, what we've got, what we're thinking about, chatting about, as well as you can view the podcast. Now, of course, if you're real lazy, I can tell you if you go to lighthousesol.com/podcast, it'll filter that all out, and you can just see the podcast. You can check out the show notes for that. You could hit play and listen to this episode all over again, because this was pretty good, apart from the first 40 minutes. Check that out. But, of course, maybe you missed last week's episode, or last 2 weeks ago? I don't know.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, the last episode. Listen. Or maybe you missed our AI episode. You should go check that one out. That one's great.
That was like a month and a half ago now.
Yeah, that was back. That was our Christmas special. Yeah. We let the robots run the asylum. Gosh, with that, I'm excited. We've got a bunch of stuff in store for you guys coming up. You know, I keep teasing that. We can't say anything about it yet because we're working behind the scenes, and we're hoping to have that launch here soon. But when we do, you will be the fourth to know. Unless you follow us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, visit our blog every day. We have an Instagram?
Yeah.
I also heard we have a TikTok.
Do you have a TikTok? Do you have a Reddit? We've got all those things.
We have a Reddit?
Yeah, I mean, it's some of those are just placeholders, but...
Well, listen, now that I know that I can go dominate the world as Lighthouse IT.
Unless I got removed for not being logged in after like 2 years.
Well, let's figure that out. So on behalf of Griffin, I've been Matt, and this has been yet another episode of the Lighthouse IT Solutions Podcast. See ya.